At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We got Steve Moore, Vice President of FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and his latest book is Govzilla. He's my brother. And we were looking for John Fund. Did we find John Fund? We're still looking for John Fund. All right. Steve Moore, let me go to you. Let's start with money in politics. And this really monstrosity of a bill, tax and spend and climate and everything, which would probably increase inflation and depress the economy. Here's my question. Will the GOP effectively message the negatives of this bill, you know, in order to keep the momentum going for the cavalry in the midterm elections? Are they getting the message out? It's a terrible bill. I raise this, Steve, because Mark Penn wrote a very good article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and he said the GOP is not doing a good enough job. Inflation is the issue. Economy is the issue. This bill is terrible, but they're not making enough of it. I suspect, Steve, that it's more of a Senate problem, and I had Rick Scott on, and he's been very good, but it's more of a Senate problem than a House problem. But what do you say? I mean, you know, you can lose bad or lose good. Are they going to lose good by carrying the message what a bad bill this is?
Well, it's a god-awful bill, and I was just reading this morning that I think it's on September 6th, Biden's going to have a huge White House celebration party over this because they've solved the climate problem. Yes, they solved it. You know, we don't have to worry about this anymore. So they think this is a big political winner at the White House. I beg to differ. I think every poll shows that by 2-1 margins, people think this will make inflation worse, not better. I think they have to hammer the Democrats, especially there's vulnerable Democrats in Trump districts, and there are about 12 or 15 of them, Larry, in the House, as well as, you know, a number of senators in Trump states as well, and just hammer the Democrats as the tax and spend party. Tax and spend, tax and spend. That's all they want to do. That's all they have done since they've taken office. I mentioned on your TV show the other night that we're up to almost $4 trillion of new spending in 19 months. That's extraordinary. And so I think that's and also the repercussions of that and connecting the dots between all of that spending and taxing and borrowing and the massive increase in the inflation rate. So I think the Democrats view this as a political winner, but I think that the more people look at, you know, what's actually inside this bill, the worse it gets. And I'll make one other quick point. You and I talked about this also on your show last night. I think that the public is very, very much against this 87,000 IRS agents. They're just not buying that this is going after Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. They think that it's going to put a burden on them.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. The newspapers, I mean, the mainstream media, Washington Post, New York Times, is celebrating all these fabulous victories. The CHIPS Plus bill, which is about you know, close to $300 billion. This bill, which is a monstrosity. I believe we have found my old friend John Fund, National Review, former Wall Street. John, you're still with Unleash Prosperity, aren't you?
I'm one of the editors of Steve Moore's Hotline, yes.
Yeah, that's it, which is the greatest product. And John's latest book is Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. John, I've seen some scattered reports in the papers that the GOP is losing momentum for November, that it's really a toss-up. I saw a poll that showed it was even. Now, even on the generic means that Republicans are probably up 5 points. But it's a serious question. Is Biden cutting the losses Are the Republicans taking advantage of it? Is the cavalry still going to come, John Fund?
August is the worst time to decide how a midterm election is going to look because most voters are not paying any attention to this. Now, it is true that passing all of these bills does improve the morale of the Democratic base, which was very depressed that nothing had gotten done for 2 years. Having said that, these bills are basically theoretical to most voters. Most voters who are not part of either party's base want to know, how is my life doing? How's my family's fortunes doing? And are things getting better for me or worse? Nothing in these bills is going to help the average family between now and November 8th. Nothing. What is going to happen is they're going to see a lot of ads saying, why did you vote to create 87,000 new IRS agents? Why did you vote for luxury electric car credits, many of which are never going to happen because they have to be built in the United States and with minerals mined in North America? This bill is a perfect policy wonk bill. It is not a bill for Joe and Jane America.
Well, those are good points.
Can I add one thing to that?
Yeah.
John is exactly right. And we were looking at a bunch of polling on climate change. Turns out about the only people who care about climate change are people in Washington. You know, if you ask people what's your number one issue that you care about, it's the economy, it's crime, it's the border, it's inflation. And John Fund knows these polling data better than I do. But, you know, climate change isn't even in the top 15. It's just not up there. Whereas, you know, if you talk to people in Washington, oh, my God, we're all going to die. And so there's a separation between what the climate – we have to keep using the term the climate change industrial complex, because this isn't about changing the weather patterns. It's about money. That's all this is about, massive hundreds of billions of dollars that are flowing to the green energy network. And so it's an example of where, look, if you ask people, what would you rather do, put more people at the border to secure our border or hire more IRS agents – that's an easy one for people, and it's not IRS agents they want.
By the way, that's such a good point. I had Blake Masters on, you know, running in Arizona, and that was a key point, that this guy Mark Kelly, the incumbent Democrat, voted against Border Patrol funding, you know, for customs agents and whatnot.
Right.
But he voted in favor of the IRS.
The IRS. Right.
Right.
It shows you their priorities, right?
Yeah.
And
exactly
another one that Republicans should mention is this troubling report that I think everybody's aware of, that the Army is down 25,000 recruits. We need more people to join our armed forces. Well, why don't we use this money to maybe pay our armed force a little more to get more people actually protecting us from real threats? And so those kinds of things. And police, by the way. The Democrats are also voting down a bill to fund police. Now, I'm not actually for the federal government funding police, but my God, they'd rather, you know, fund the IRS than keep people safe in our cities.
John Fund, let me read you a paragraph quickly. Mark Penn, who I think you would agree is a good pollster. Republicans are stuck at the 50-yard line, held back by fears of extremism and of Mr. Trump's potential return. To make any progress, they will have to double down on the economy and push energy independence over climate change to reach these struggling Americans. They will need to win the message war over the Inflation Reduction Act as a wasteful taxing and spending spree in times that demand pro-growth policies and fiscal responsibility. So first is, do you agree with that, stuck on the 50-yard line? And then second, you know, coming back, are they winning the message war?
No, they need to up their game, but they can do it easily with two things. First of all, the economy, it keeps getting worse. And even though we've had a temporary clawback of gasoline prices, the American people, groceries went up 13% last year, 13%. And Larry, here's something where the extremism charge can be hurled back at the Democrats. Yes, there are stupid Republicans who say stupid things, but they usually don't affect people's daily lives. This past week, Ilhan Omar, the radical member of the squad, the AOC friend, barely won her primary in Minneapolis for Congress. She was the incumbent. This is a district that voted 75% for Biden. She won by 2 points because she had backed the defund the police movement. So what do the Democrats do? 3 days later, they pass this package on the floor of Congress for climate change and IRS agents, and they tell the centrists in their party, you had this bill to have federal grants to local police departments. We're going to shelve that because the progressives protested. They didn't want to do it. This is an insane party. They get a message from Minneapolis, the most liberal city in the country, that people are mad about defunding the police, and they defund the police.
Right.
Steve, I had Rick Scott on yesterday, and he's very good, and he messages very well.
He does.
But, I am concerned that the Senate, you know, the Republican Senate conference, I have not heard much about them in messaging about this monstrosity of a bill. And, of course, they are somewhat culpable passing the $300 billion CHIPS bill. And, of course, last year they were culpable on infrastructure. In other words, I'm worried about the Senate in general. I'm just worried about the Senate. And secondly, because they're not really messaging very well.
Well, John's more the political expert here than I am. I wanted to say one thing, though, about messaging that ties into what you were just talking about. I was reading the Wall Street Journal this morning, and there was a story about John Fund. I think it's the congressman from Maine who voted for this bill, the Democrat who's in a
Golden,
and he said, you know, he's asked, why did you vote for this bill? And he said something like, because this bill is going to make America energy independent. I'm like, what? we want energy independent. No, but this is their talking point, Larry, that this is going to make America energy independent. It's ludicrous. We were energy independent under Trump. We moved in completely the opposite direction. We've ceded control of the coal industry to China. We've ceded control of the oil and gas industry to Saudi Arabia and Iran and Russia. And, you know, we're going to solve that problem by building windmills. I mean, the whole thing is so absurd. And I want energy independence to be part of the Republican agenda and to take on this idea that we're going to get there with windmills and solar panels. By the way, Europe is moving very aggressively to natural gas and nuclear power. We should be doing the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We've got John Fund and we've got Steve Moore. I'm Larry Kudlow. When we come back, I'm going to ask the same question. What is the election impact of the break-in of Mar-a-Lago and yet another attack on Donald Trump? I'm Larry Kudlow. Please stick around, folks.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. I'm here with John Fund of the Committee to Unleash Prosperity and Steve Moore of the same outfit. And Steve's book is Govzilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy and Our Freedom. Boy, that book is actually apocryphal, so we have to keep pushing that book. But the title was so bad, Govzilla. Anyway, I want to ask the same question. John Fund, I'll go to you first. The FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago and the attack on Trump. And by the way, Andy McCarthy's got a fabulous column out today in National Review Online. He was on the show earlier. You know, they're going after all the documents, not just the classified documents. They're going after every single document that they can find or they've taken from Mar-a-Lago. It's way beyond. I mean, they're rewriting the Presidential Records Act. Some people are saying now Trump will be indicted on a technicality, if not worse. That's the ultimate issue here. And it all ties back to the January 6th business and the January 6th committee. John Fund, what is the election impact? First of all, on the midterms, what is the election impact of this Trump attack?
Well, I'll tell you this. If the Democrats wanted attention for their big new spending bill and to out its accomplishments, they sort of stepped on their own message by having the Justice Department do this week. Because nobody's talking about the bill. They're all talking about Mar-a-Lago. Look, Larry, it's pretty clear what's going to happen. Base of the Democratic Party, the legal industrial complex of the Democratic Party, feels that they have to get the great white whale, and that's Donald Trump. Mm. He's their Moby Dick. They're obsessed with him. So they're going to indict him on elements of the Presidential Records Act. I am sure there were technical violations, just as I'm sure that there were violations with Hillary Clinton's email, and no one ever indicted her. Remember that one. But I'm sure there were technical violations. It will go before a jury, and it'll be an urban jury, Washington, D.C. or New York, or a place where conviction is almost guaranteed, and they will offer him a plea deal. And the plea deal will be, Mr. President Donald Trump, we will agree that there'll be no jail time, a slap on the wrist, and you have to agree not to run for president.
Right.
That's what they're after.
Right.
And I think that is a corrupt bargain because it is a perversion of justice. I am no friend of Donald Trump's flaunting of rules and regulations and the truth. But this is political persecution.
Hmm. Steve, you have a thought? Steve? I don't know. Maybe we've lost Steve. John, come back to your point. I think they can get him on a technical violation. I think that's a very important thought. And I also think that's very likely. Now, they'll go to court. Trump won't agree to not running, will he?
It's not in his character.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm thinking. And, you know, Trump basically wants to run, right? And he feels like he's got a lot of unfinished business. He's given some very good policy speeches recently. You know, he gave a good one in Washington for the America First thing. He gave a good one.
I was there for that.
Yeah.
I was there.
So what'd you think? I thought it was a pretty good speech.
Well, it was better than his other speeches earlier this year, which were constantly looking back on the 2020 election and basically, you know, a grievance argument. I was robbed. And I've written a book, obviously, Larry, about the problems in the 2020 election, so I can understand some of his concerns. But the average voter wants to know, what are you going to do to help me in the future? You had a good economy. We have a bad economy. How are you going to get us back to where we were and perhaps even better? And he started to at least mention some of those in the speech, but it was incomplete. There was a lot of crime, which is fine, but there wasn't much on the economy quite yet. Mm. Donald Trump has to not be distracted by things like the legal problems he's about to engage in. He's got to focus on communicating to the American people. It's not about his problems. It's about their problems.
Yeah, you know, Steve Moore, let me go to John's second point. Trump does need, I mean, the speeches he gave were good speeches, heavy, heavy on crime, which is fine, crime, border, drugs and the like. But he really needs to go directly to the economy, like spend more time. You know, I cut taxes, I deregulated, we were energy independent, we had prosperity for everybody, most particularly the minority groups, most particularly the typical American, you know, working folks, family. He needs to spend more. I did this right. They're overturning it. And he needs to, here's how I'll fix it if you put me back in. He needs to really do more on that. And all the Republicans in the House and Senate need to follow that playbook. Well, no Steve Moore. All right. So John Fund, Trump is laying out an agenda. Wait, are we back, Steve? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I was just saying, yeah, I agree with what you just said. I've listened to his speeches over the last 3 or 4 months, and he does a pretty good job of the before and after. This is what I did, and this is what Biden's done, and which do you like better? And that's a really good message. You know, we were energy independent. Now we're not. We had, you know, big wage growth. Now we don't. We had, low poverty rates, all of these things. So the compare and contrast with Biden, I think, is a very powerful message. Just listening to what you and John Fund were saying earlier, I just have to say, I mean, look, the guy who has had the best week this week is Donald Trump. I mean, he's back, baby. Mm-hmm. As a Democrat. And if people, I want to recommend to your listeners, read the column this week by my and John Fund's former colleague, Dan Henninger, in the Wall Street Journal. And he makes the point that the left is so unhinged with anti-Trump derangement syndrome, they can't stop talking about him, and they can't keep putting him on the front page. And I love the New York Post headline. It says everything. They could have just asked me for it.
Right.
I know.
I know.
And that's a raid his compound. I mean, it was outrageous.
So if he gets hit with a technical indictment of some kind, does he forge on? Does he just stay with it?
Yeah. I mean, like, throw him in that briar patch. The more they persecute him, the higher his numbers go. I mean, David Brooks, who's another former colleague who's now a liberal, he even said, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, Andy McCarthy said on the show earlier, what the Justice Department is trying to do is write a new law about presidential records. They're trying to make this into a criminal act. There is no such law. Congress, even after Nixon, Congress did not go after that. And all these presidential libraries have millions of pages of documents that many of which were classified information, and presumably they declassified it. But, I mean, I'm mostly interested, gentlemen, in the midterms, okay? The cavalry is coming. I just want to know, are they stuck on the 50-yard line? That's the issue. Has the gap, you know, looked like a big win? Has that gap narrowed, John Fund? Are they in trouble on this, John Fund?
Previous midterms have seen the lead and the margin of difference between the parties constantly vary. The point is, what do you do after Labor Day when people start paying attention to politics and less time on summer vacation and baseball? So they have to get their messaging ready for Labor Day, and the messaging has to be the economy and why are you so much worse off now than you were 2 years ago. If they do that, they will remind people that Biden has no plan for the future other than IRS agents and luxury electric vehicles that no one can afford because they're an average of $69,000 each.
Mm. Steve Moore, when does Kevin McCarthy publish his contract with America or whatever it's called?
I don't know if they're ready with it yet. They should get it out. I mean, I think they need some advice from people like you about what they should be saying about the economy, but that's really important. It has to have a big component about out-of-control government, about crime at the border. I mean, there's so many areas where the Republicans can attack. But it's really critical that Republicans have a very positive agenda, a pro-America agenda.
Yep. A pro-growth agenda, an anti-inflation agenda.